Ramp's there.
Jesus.
So this poem is called In Hopes of Finding Where It Ends. Eyes closed, you're running an open palm along the intricate keloid trails of my arms, smooth, even, sweet. Later, just fingertips tracing the terrain, left to right, line by line, along the intricate keloid trails of my arms. Patient as a translator scanning slowly through, tracing the terrain, left to right, line by line. Then a dance of figure eights and curlicues. Patient as a translator scanning slowly through. I don't know what you could be learning. Then a dance of figure eights and curlicues. I'm lulled into this feeling of refuge. I don't know what you could be learning, eyes closed. You're running an open palm, and I'm lulled into this feeling of refuge. Smooth, even, sweet. Later. Just fingertips.
Thanks, James. Next up, can we get Catherine Ronan, please? Inner Connecticut. Look at you. I don't see your age, your hair, or your eyes. I see your spirit. I feel your spirit. It stirs and strokes my animal within. Your ethereal fingers pointing deep. Light creeps over cobwebbed, carpeted recesses, previously untouched. It thrills. Thanks, Catherine. I also really enjoyed your flavoring poem, so thanks for that too. Next up, we have Charles Clark.
You might think it doesn't matter whether you allow your name to be put on the list of people to read or not. But one of my neighbors in London has heard me twice. And that perhaps is a surprise. This is Christmas. Christmas is already on the way. All the big stores are advertising pages and pages, making enriching the people have already got an awful lot. And the Sindhu was full of it yesterday. And so on. This is a Christmas poem. Christmas stew. It is good studio practice to pose the Indian on the water tower with bow and arrow against the blue desert sky, skeletal tree and ranch sign. A Christmas card from the West. A Manichaean message of good and evil from the back lot.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Hi, Richards. Next up, we got Dan Johnson.
Estate between Barrack Street and College Road, I almost wept at the sight of the stars and the streetlights, arising up, coming across the city from the north, and I thought of how unbelievably sad it is for all the people who have not been lucky enough to see something like this, a collective life risen up to meet my eyes in the night between steeples and moonlight. All those unlucky people, all those unlucky enough to stand here, to not stand here in this spot, gulping midnight air in Cork City in 2019. And yet someone, somewhere else, is surely writing too, looking at something with elation and then pure sadness, writing the very same poem about me.
Thanks, Sam. Next up, we have Amelia. I'm not going to attempt your surname, but you might say it for everyone.
Hi, I'm Amelia Kamidolsky. It's called, I don't blame you. It's a lot of letters. I'm here for the semester, so I've been writing some like postcard poems, and this is one of them. Postcard triptych. In an eventuality assumed but not promised, I am six pictures of myself taken by my father. But today, operating on a lifetime of experience, I am lonely for myself and bound to a starving animal. On a park bench, a fleece sweater stained with egg has snaps instead of buttons. Today looks like rain, my mother says, never quite filling an empty room, says that neither of my parents, including herself, are particularly resilient. Paint an egg yolk onto a plate, it drips some, lap it up. I drool all down my chin, and in six pictures of myself, seven, but the last is only mine. I am six changing faces, learning six expressions, learning six times my skin is a blank canvas and in a westcast sun, rising, rising, rising. A lock of a child's hair gleams like a precious metal, curled around a broken locket. A stray dog finds her way into a water park. The pictures, waterlogged, are washed and clean.
Next up, we have the one and only Mary O'Connor.
Thanks, Michelle. There was a lot on the television during the week on RT1 about climate change, and I'll give this one a second airing. It's called We Borrow the Earth from Our Children. Faced with an inconvenient truth, the powerful yawn and stretch their legs. Notice how their collars tighten when discussing global meltdown. Our miraculous blue planet had water, oxygen, and heat, a built-in Goldilocks effect to nurture and sustain our growth. Now we're in a video game, a three-dimensional make-believe, where we mistake our avatars for our original true selves. We have become deaf to the roar of burning forests, blind to ice cracking in wedges to the waves, unleashed by greenhouse gases. Fish and mammals, choked by plastic, are left to decompose and die. Attenborough's sweeping cameras highlights this savage negligence. We've been drugged by easy options. Wear the straitjacket of habit, repeat the lies, there will be time. Though rogue states scupper protocols. Yet now a teenage Swedish girl, like Joan of Arc, has dared to grasp the sword of bleak reality to halt the use of fossil fuels. Greta Thunberg, when just 15, had called the powerful to account before the tipping point is reached and Gaia has no champions left. She and the children she inspired want to revive what can be saved, bring hope at the 11th hour to our disintegrating world.
Thank you. get an awful lot more from RT News if Mary was the anchor woman. Fantastic. One of them could hijack it for like 2 minutes.
Yes.
Next up we have Orion Delay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm French and I'm going to read a poem in French. So I'll just give you the context beforehand. I only started to write poems this summer, usually I dance mostly. last year, I have this very, very close friend of mine who wasn't there a lot in the city where I studied. And so I missed her a lot because we have this very special connection. And now that I'm here in Ireland, I can't see her a lot and I also miss her a lot. And so when I was walking in the street, sometimes out of nowhere, I would smell her perfume. And she has a very special perfume that I like, that I love. And I don't know where it came from, but I would just smell this perfume and I would just have to stop and just remember her face and what she says, how she laughs and all that. And I would feel very nostalgic, but also happy and just a mix of feelings. That's the book. Cette odeur au coin de la rue, mes pas ralentissent aussitôt. Je tends l'oreille pour l'entendre. En vain, ton rire ne vient pas. Mon esprit se trouve encombré des mimiques de ton visage. Au milieu d'un monde gaga, je ne te vois pas et pourtant, je voudrais juste t'enlacer, me sentir enfin apaisé et te dire dans un murmure, je suis là, ne t'inquiète pas.
Kind of do smell perfume when we hear French anyway. That was lovely though. Next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. This is called These Hardened Hours. Expending, dependent, coinciding with death. Fulfill prophecies, dangle past the shore. Shattering romancers under the boss's nose. Goring with intent of highbrow nation. A genealogy of a song disparaged deck of it. Burning incriminating a mother's pursuit. Daily deadlines undertaken in a chamber's delight. The sturdy brain makes fools of us all. Opposite of revenge, replaced by fat, eventually to disuse, celebrating collapse. Shattered by rage, a story worth reciting, once read, never forgotten, as a film star is. Variegated secret to the medium unrelenting, tracing ancestors to the dross of learning, a philosophy to view the joke as all over. So memoirs worth taming over tea and biscuits, environmental details entwined in love, witches in the tamest dreams ride far and wide, theoretical and conspiracies skulk in the corner, too drunk to care in any given direction. Post-action perdition cursing the kiss that makes us wanted, a badge for achievement, living past what sidles to the coffee break, fearing the future in a single phone call, cross-channel television's golden curse. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And next up, we have Max Creedle.
About traits we all have that kind of brand you, and depending who you meet, you might say, oh Jesus, here comes the bimbo, or you'd say, oh Jesus, here comes that smart cookie. So it's kind of a reply from us. Okay. Should I just an improv song, bear with me? I won't be your parody. I won't be your caricature. I'll be your silhouette for sure, with a kiss curl and a shirt with sure. I won't be your parody. I am here, I'm vital, I'm me. I visualize a dream come true and actualize a destiny rendezvous. So don't paint my outline with a pen. I paint my own rich colors from within. And don't join up the dots with a neat little string. Now veneer a coat of varnish for that perfect sheen. I can't be your parody. I won't be a step for wife for cream tea. Just take me for what I'm free to be. It's too late to calibrate me. So don't draw my outline with pen. I'll paint my own rich colors from within. And don't join all the dots with a neat little string. Just unwrap this gift of truth this old doll brings.
Thanks, that was lovely. We have Colm Scully next.
I just wrote this last week. I just wrote this last week and I say you should never read a poem. It's the week after writing it, but I know. It's called Irish Tone, and the statutes of Kilkenny in the 14th century were written in the 14th century. And you know, it was to, so the Anglo-Normans kind of wanted to reassert themselves. They were all getting kind of, became native. So one of the statutes of Kilkenny was that native Irish couldn't live within the town walls. And consequently to this, there's a lot of towns and cities in Ireland have a little Irish town, a place called Irish Town on the outskirts. Cork doesn't have one for some unknown reason. So this poem is called Irish Tone, and I suppose it's in the voice of it's probably in the voice of one of the delegates at the time deciding what to do, how to design this town or set it up. But at the end, then he has a premonition to what the town will be like in the future. So here it goes. It's called Irish Tone. In small grey houses, providing eggs for the barracks and meat for the market. They need a place to be, not in the town, outside the main guard. We'll keep them out at night by the river. They'll play their music. We'll play the dulcimer and clavichord. The ones who have no land, no resources, gone from their tribes for some reason or other. There needs to be a place for everyone. We'll put them in that place. Somewhere to go home to. That's not too close and not too far for washerwomen, wet nurses, char ladies, drunken layabouts, pipers and poets. What do they drink in Irish Town? In mud and wattle cabins? What do they eat? Bacon and cabbage? Someday they'll come at night through the cracks in our walls to rob us of everything. Time tells a tale that someday they'll own this town. They'll overcome us with dirt under their knit fingernails. They'll end up owning our houses. The old main guard will just be a trophy, a broken down relic of England's domination. The courthouse, a courthouse for tagged judges, with rules to admonish their own and the old order. And Irish Town will be a few streets of small one-story houses, shop signs and flower boxes, where the Irish used to live. Some done up, some broken. Some hipster palaces, starter homes for newbies, cottages for the old people, rental accommodation out on the outskirts, just before you come to the direct provision centre.
Next up, we have Richard Pearce.
Hello. Nice.
Hello.
Hello.
I haven't written anything about a year now. My friends say I'm accumulating. My mom says I'm counting clouds.
Both?
Yeah, both. I prefer her version though. So I wanted to tap into a poem I wrote when I first decided to write reading poems. Recently, my mind went under a capitulation, resulting in the self-stipulation, demanding that I become stern and learn to be heard. And I knew then it was time to leave my line of work. Initially, it was discerning, learning that there was a world that revolved without me. So I spent some time estranged from the reality of earning. But after a few weeks, it became apparent that my expeditions into creative exposition went into remission and led nowhere productive. Well, in a monetary sense at least. So my life became reductive as my income ceased to a dribble of cash in hand, odd jobs. I robbed the tax man as best I can to fund a caffeine addiction with the restriction of knowing that what I spend, it would never be replaced. And I traced my life through day-to-day delusions, a fusion of illusions, avoiding questions of my future, sutured by the fact that I'm still relatively young, so highly strung. I sung a few songs and I slung myself into the mould of the artist. But I was unable to resist the tempests of creative stasis. My moods and flux, the crux of all our lives, arrived at my undecided mind. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Because as you probably know, simply existing doesn't hold an economical value. And in lieu of society devolving into a meritocracy where I receive on the basis of a social standing, or a kleptocracy where it's permitted to take as I fancy, I need to find a way of making money while maintaining sanity. But my vanity is compounded as I'm surrounded by friends whose momentum seems unfounded, happy with their lives, it's visible in their eyes. And a counsellor once queried would I prefer to live life either sedate and easy or poor and interesting. And the sting is that I want the best of both, but I have neither.
Moonfruit. Where I tread, I chopped fruits of phases of the moon. So if I need to go back, I would only look back, find the lamps scattered behind my wake. But my past is a void. Only my memory speaks. They melted away, snow-like. And I regret the crushed parts that only the poetry seeped. And forward above, in the branches of the sky, a moon fruit, red, ripe, and scarred. My hands outreach, dance out, way to catch. If only the moon had a dawn or settled. Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. I think everybody takes us out of the room, but you always take me the furthest out of the room as possible. It's great. Thanks.
Yeah.
We have Ben next, but he's gone to the loo. Hi, Ben!
That's not Ben, it's plastic.
Maybe have it low. First, and we'll see. Should be coming through.
Is it good?
We're forward.
Ha ha ha.
single-use plastic. I am indestructible. I was once algae and tiny zooplankton, living carefree in the Mesozoic ocean. And when I died, I drifted to the floor, crushed beneath layers of sedimentary rock. 300 million years of darkness till I was extracted and turned into plastic. Single-use plastic. I am indestructible. A momentary use for a permanent object. Now I wrap courgettes in convenient packets. Your six-pack of cans. Your lemon meringue. I'm back in the ocean. Pacific trash vortex. In the stomach of a whale. The beak of a guillemot. I'm down in the soil. Down in your gut. And no, I don't break down. And no, I don't rot. Cause I'm single-use plastic. I am indestructible. Momentary use for a permanent object. Yeah, I'm single-use plastic. A momentary use for a permanent object. Breakdown. 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 Breakdown.
That's gonna be on YouTube in the morning.
Imagine Ben performing that on a big stage in front of hundreds of people with six choreographed backup dancers. That happened last summer.
Michelle choreographed it with me.
Yeah, I once wore one of those punches. Very good fun. Very good fun. Yeah, that'll be. There's a music video for that released tomorrow.
Yeah. Video shot by Thomas Spencer and recorded in at Myrtleville Beach. With dancers. Okay.
Most rock and roll you'll ever see this major. Okay, next up we got Sue Blue.
Right.
Jesus, how to follow that? Okay. Brand new off the feather. I don't quite know what this is. It's called What's Love? Another one bites the dust. Another one fleeing in fear of love. Running away from the glow of the light. The flow of the essence of which we consist. Leaving what could be so good and so right. Never knowing what love might bring, always wanting to have and to own, never leaving tomorrow alone, forever missing the spring of this dream, and ever searching what love might mean. But love only is in the now. Love only exists in a flow of time. Wanting to hold it fixed to the bait will only chase the bait to flee. But never allow your love to be free. Like a butterfly in the garden returns to those of the flowers that it prefers, we could have returned to one another again and again with no competition, a rubber band love or a boomerang. But like so many, you kept on pushing hard for your time, too impatient to wait, tightening the lasso around my throat, shortening the leash around my waist, yet only the longest lead can hold me. Another lover I need to let go, another one missing the point of love, missing the sense and the meaning of joining the flow of light any time, never needing to make someone mine. Because love comes from the universe, it's way beyond the personal. You can direct your love to me, then let it flow back into the big stream while enjoying the spark that it gives. The art is to enjoy what is.
Last up, we have Carl Holland. Carl won the Monster Slam here a few weeks ago, and then he went up to meet Dublin and came in third place in the All Ireland Slam final. Court boats that went up to compete, and all three of them took first, second, and third place. All of them born and raised, so that's a really happy moment for us. So, yeah, Carl's going to wrap up the open mic for us. Enjoy.
Hey guys, how are you? This is a new piece, I'm not entirely sure if I have it off. So I wrote it after the jazz. I came back after a long night and I had to feed Mam's cat, she was away. And it was like an appetite all time in the morning was. It was the second time I fed him that day anyway. And I came home and there he was and we just had a little moment to fire on. I wrote this. We've been going through some similar stuff. How are you, black cat? Back from your wanderings. I come to sit back, scratch your back, fill your bowl with your offerings. Push the black of your head in the palm of my hand, and I'll tell you my stories, though you'll not understand. It's been a long night, dark one. Bless your soul and your heart's rest, my little black river of sacred self-interest. And how did you spend it? Did you kiss the princess? With the moon drops on rooftops and then back to your love nest. My 5 a.m. shadow, my pouncer and prince, straggled, bedraggled, and dragging yourself back from the rinse. But I see you are bleeding, and that one looks fresh. As good as you got what you gave, I expect. Purr for me, pouncer. Purr for me, mouser. Oh, sorry, that's... You and I, black cat, we have met with the law, that the lie of your land is as long as your claw. You and me, brother. We've scratched and we've bit, turning our coats from the fights we have fit. For I have gone lonely and stubborn and hard, for the indigent half of an unbroken heart. Purr for me, Mouser, your day will come. You stand on the world and declare you have won, kingly and calm, till the wind goes on howling. You and me, black cat, out all night, yowling.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody. That concludes our 636th O'Mail. I want to thank everybody who entered the Fibroid Challenge tonight and to our winner, Ben Burns, of St. Reduce Plastic. Also, thank you to everyone who entered in our read in the open mic. Thanks again to Abby so much behind the bar for looking after us for so long. And also, thank you so much to Grace Willens and Siobhan Daffy who performed for us tonight. Thanks.